Take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Hosea. It's a privilege to be back today, and I'm thankful to be here this week. Looking forward to a good week with Miss Gail and the family, and always thankful to be back at Faith Baptist Church. Thankful for the influence that this place had in the life of my wife. You never know. You just never know the influence that you'll have. My daughter in college, she got to see Brother Glenn Stevenson. Not Glenn, is it Glenn? It's Glenn. His son is also Glenn. Any of y'all remember the Stevensons when they were here many, many years ago? He was the youth pastor when my wife was a teenager. And he saw my daughter recently at college. They came over from the Charlotte area. He's in the Charlotte area now and came over, and my daughter got to meet them. And he just cried when he met my daughter, because in his heart he knows that he had a part in that. That her mom, Beverly, that she's still doing, she's still living the way that he taught her when she was a teenager. And so you never know. And so that's why you just stay at it and just keep at it. Hosea chapter number 13 this morning. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. If you're taking notes, I want to bring a message to us this morning, a lesson entitled, Never Lose Your Tremble. Never lose your tremble. Hosea 13, Hosea, the book of Hosea, we, of course, 13, 14 chapters, but the book of Hosea, Hosea was a prophet primarily to Israel, to the northern kingdom, but very intriguing book, as of course all of Scripture is, but we have a unique relationship in the book of Hosea. We have the husband, Hosea, who takes a wife, Gomer. Hosea is a picture of God, and he's more specifically a picture of God's relentless love. God comes after us, and he comes after us, and he comes after us. Hosea came after Gomer. He came after. And Gomer is a picture of really of our rebellion. Whereas God is a picture, or Hosea is a picture of God's relentless love, Gomer is a picture of our, or we could say Israel's, rebellious life. But God's love is constant. It's faithful. It's not dependent upon us, is it? Is it? No. God's love isn't based upon what we do today or what we do tomorrow or whether we're lovely or not, because we are never lovely. God loves us unconditionally. And so the book of Hosea, Hosea again, just like many of the prophets, he is preaching to a people who are getting ready to go into captivity. He's preaching to a people that have been preached to many, many, many times, and the message has been repent. The message has been returned. Think about the man Jeremiah. He preached and he preached and he preached. He preached repentance. He preached for Judah to return. And for the most part, he never really saw revival. He never really saw converts, but he continued to preach. And that was the message that has been given to Israel, that has been given to Judah. And really, it fell upon deaf ears. But we come almost to the end of the book of Hosea. And in verse number 1, it says, when Ephraim spake, and there's the word, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, when he began to go after false idols, when he began to worship other gods, the Bible says he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols, according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard. By the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the caul of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Never lose your tremble. Father, please help today. Father, please teach. Father, may your Holy Spirit have freedom to move in our midst today. And Father, may we be attentive, not to the speakers today, but Father, to your word. Father, help us to be attentive to that which you desire to teach us today, the areas in which you desire to change us today, the places where you desire to grow us today. Father, may we be attentive and may we leave this place today different than when we walked through the doors. Father, we pray for every class that is meeting right now. We pray for every Sunday school teacher, for every Sunday school student. Father, may your word have its desired effect in their lives today. Father, I pray for our dear folks back home at Maranatha. Father, we ask that you would help those that will be speaking today. And Father, we pray that you'd use them in a powerful way. Father, may everything done there today as here today, Father, may it be done for your honor and your glory. Father, we commit these next few moments to you. Father, we ask that you would bless as only you can. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we speak of the word tremble this morning, we are simply speaking of the idea of fear, of respect, of humility, of reverence to the Lord. Because when the Bible speaks of fear and trembling in the Scriptures, and when the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it does not speak of fear as we think of it many times, maybe cowering in a corner. It speaks of reverence. It speaks of obedience. It speaks of humility toward our God. I want to look real quickly at just a couple of passages, just by way of introduction, and then I'll give you the message, the outline real quickly this morning. But take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Psalm chapter number 2. Psalm chapter number 2. Never lose your tremble. The Bible says when Ephraim spake trembling, when Ephraim had a tremble, when Ephraim feared God, when Ephraim reverenced God, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, when he began to worship other gods, when he lost his tremble, when he stopped fearing God and stopped reverencing God. And by the way, let me say this morning. We get the idea sometimes, well, you know, we talk about the nation of Israel and we talk about these false gods, and I would never have false gods, and I would never set up an idol, maybe in my living room or even in our church. We would never set up a statue or a stock, a piece of wood, and carve something out of it. We would never do that and fall down to it. But anything that takes the preeminence of God in our lives is an idol. Anything. It could be money. It could be children. You know, many times, with good intentions, we put children above God. And anything that takes the preeminence above God Almighty, it doesn't have to be a wood statue or a metal statue or any kind of what we think of in our minds as an idol. It's anything that takes the preeminence away from God. Psalm 2, notice verse 11. If you will, the Bible says, serve the Lord with what? What's the word there? With fear. That's reverence. That's reverence and obedience and humility. And notice what he says, and rejoice with what? Trembling. Rejoice with trembling. Well, you know, that Old Testament God. He just wanted to keep everyone under his thumb, trembling. What kind of word is that, that we would live trembling? No, again, it's just reverence and obedience and humility. Listen, growing up, I had a healthy fear of my father. But I had a great love for my father. I did not feel like he was just trying to constantly keep me under his thumb, although in a sense he was. I had a healthy fear for my father because I knew, look, there are things I should do, there are things I shouldn't do, and if I do the things I shouldn't do and I don't do the things I should do, then yes, there are consequences. My father gave me boundaries, but I never trembled in the way that we think of it many times. Now, when he told me to go to my bedroom, sometimes I trembled. You see what it is? It's a healthy respect and reverence for Almighty God. And it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Notice verse number 12. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry and he perisheth from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed. You see, that's a consequence, and that's a good consequence. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. By the way, don't forget that. We're going to speak about that again in just a moment. Trust. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Go back a little bit further in the Old Testament again, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, just real quickly. I want us to see a few individuals in the scriptures that lost their tremble. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel 15. We know the first king of Israel, King Saul, the nation of Israel, they desired to have a king like all the other nations. Samuel pushed back against that. He said, no. And God said, look, Samuel, don't be upset. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And so Saul was the first king. And he was chosen because at that time he was a man of humility. He said, who am I? By the way, he hid, didn't he? When he was supposed to come and be anointed, he hid himself. There was humility there. But notice in 1 Samuel 15, verse number 17, the Bible says, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Verse number 19, he says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And in verse number 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He said, look, Saul, when you were little, you were exalted. And Saul said, look, the people took the spoil, and we took the spoil so we could sacrifice to you. Remember this, good intentions never trump God's instructions. Good intentions never trump God's commands and what he desires for us to do. And Saul said, no, we did it for you, God. We're going to sacrifice to you. And Samuel said, the Lord said, it's not the offerings, it's the obedience. Go a little bit further. Second Chronicles chapter number 26. Second Chronicles chapter number 26. One of the great kings in the history of Israel, really in the history of Judah. Second Chronicles chapter number 26. Notice verse number 16. The Bible says, but when he was strong, speaking of King Uzziah, but when he was strong, by the way, who made him strong? Who allowed him to be strong? God Almighty did. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Let me say this morning. Every single one of us are susceptible to the sin of pride. Every single one of us are. And the Bible says here that King Uzziah, when God made him strong, when God allowed his kingdom to increase, the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his what? To his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Never lose your tremble. Let's go back to Hosea chapter number 13. And by the way, one other example, we're not going to go to the passage, but in Isaiah chapter number 14, we probably have the greatest example is Lucifer. In Isaiah chapter number 14, never lose your tremble. And I want to submit to you just real quickly. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but just real quickly, I want to submit to you three reasons why it is absolutely imperative, absolutely vital that we never lose our tremble, that we never lose our fear for Almighty God. Number one this morning in Hosea chapter number 13. First of all, when we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. When we lose our tremble, when we stop fearing God Almighty, our trust is transferred. Remember what it said in Psalm chapter number 2? It says, blessed are they that place their trust in the Lord, that put their trust in Him. When we lose our tremble, when we stop fearing the Lord, our trust is transferred. Transferred to who? First of all, from the Creator to the created. They transferred here in Hosea 13 their trust from the Creator to those idols that they had created. Notice verse number 2. The Bible says, and now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred from the Creator to the created. Secondly, from the God, capital G, to a God, little g. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred from the Creator to the Creator, to the created, from the God, capital G, to a God, little g. And then thirdly, from the Savior to the silver. Let me ask us this morning, who is more able to take care of us, the Creator or that which we create in our own lives? Who is more able to take care of us, the God or a little g God? In verse number 3, it says, therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away. We'll get to that more in just a moment. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. When we lose our fear of God. By the way, we don't have to go far. We have lost our tremble in the United States of America. We've lost it. We do not fear God. We fear the government is who we fear today. It should never be that way. And by the way, I say we fear the government. I'm not necessarily talking about us per se. I'm just talking about our nation. Who do we turn to today when there's a crisis? Now, I'll submit to you very transparently this morning. Much of that has happened because we have failed as the church. The church has failed. We have allowed the government to take over things that the government should have never been in charge of. And if the church had done its job, and I speak as a pastor, I speak regarding our own church and our community, if we would do what we're supposed to do, then maybe people wouldn't run to the government as much as they do. But the government has become a god. And everything that the government does has become a god. When we have a crisis, where do we run to? We run to the government, not to God. When we need finances, where do we run to? We run to the government, not to God. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. When was the last time you heard a politician, national politician, who genuinely, and you could tell it without any hesitation, genuinely invoked the name of Almighty God? We have this crisis. We need God. Let's have a day of fasting. Let's have a day of prayer. We need God. The government's not going to fix anything. God can fix this. We need God. Was the last time you heard someone say that? I'm thankful in the state of Tennessee, our governor a couple of years ago, and he's done this several times. By the way, I don't agree with everything he's done. Honestly, I think he's waned a little bit the longer he's been in there. But several times in his first term, He called for statewide days of fasting and prayer when there were times of need, not just in our state, but in our nation. I'm thankful for a man, at least in part, who sees that we need God. It's not all just about him or the people in Nashville who are governing. We need God. Number one, when we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred from the Creator to the created, from the God to a God, from the Savior to the silver. In verse number two, it says it have made them molten images of their silver. Let me give you number two just quickly. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. Secondly, when we lose our tremble, our hearts are hardened. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred, and then eventually our hearts are going to become hard. Our hearts are going to become hard. They're not soft to the things of God. Well, we come to church week after week after week after week after week, and by the way, you should. But you shouldn't come here week after week after week and it just, oh, this is just something we do and it's just old hat and it's habit. No, there ought to be a freshness every time you walk into the door. There ought to be a heart to come and to hear and to learn every time you walk in the doors. There ought to be a heart every time we walk in the doors to grab that songbook and sing. Not just, well, it was what we're doing again. Okay, why are you doing it? You're doing it because you have a God who loves you. You have a God who sent his son to die on the cross for you. And the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me. And boy, it ought to be the love of Christ that drives us. But when we lose our tremble and everything's just, it's just no big deal. Our hearts become hardened. We have in verse number 8, we have a fantastic illustration regarding the reference to the call, C-A-U-L, the call of the heart. The call of the heart is the pericardium which surrounds the heart. And when that call, that pericardium becomes fat, it leads to the hardening of the heart. Hey, real quickly, would you take your Bibles and go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And by the way, God warned them of this. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. In Hosea 13 verse number 8, he says, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, speaking of her little ones, speaking of her cubs, and will rend the call of their heart. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 15. The Bible says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Now, by the way, he's not saying that an individual has become 400 pounds. He's saying that the nation of Israel has become fat because they have received so many blessings, but they have forgotten from whom those blessings came. He says, thou art covered with fatness. Notice this. Then, when God blessed and God blessed and God blessed and God blessed, then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. By the way, in the book of Hosea, the Bible says that Israel had forgotten their maker. They had forgotten. Can you imagine forgetting God, forgetting Jehovah, the one who had brought them out of Egypt, the one that had brought them across the Red Sea, the one that had blessed them in the wilderness? Can you imagine that they came to a point where they forgot their creator, their maker? But he warned them of that. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. When we lose our tremble, our hearts, the call becomes fat. And when it gets fat, it hardens. Our hearts are hardened. Why is that important? Why is that even a big deal? Real quickly, because a hard heart causes iniquity to increase. Hosea 13 and verse number 2. A hard heart causes iniquity to increase. You see what he says there in verse number 2? And now they sin. What's the next word? More. More and not, he doesn't stop. And more, he says. And now they sin more and more. A hard heart causes iniquity to increase. Secondly, a hard heart causes wisdom to wane. In verse number 2 again, He said, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according, don't miss this, according to their what? Own understanding. According to their own understanding. A hard heart causes iniquity to increase. It causes wisdom to wane. And then thirdly, a hard heart causes the field to forget. It causes the field to forget. Verse number six. He says, according to their pasture, so were they filled. In Deuteronomy 6, what does God tell Israel? He says, I'm going to bring you into a land that you didn't work for, that you didn't build. You didn't build the houses. You didn't plant the vineyards. You didn't plant the olivyards. You didn't do any of it. But I'm going to bring you into that, and I'm going to give it to you. And he says, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was what? Are you there? It's exalted. Therefore have they what? Forgotten me. I am not one who hates the blessings that God has placed on America. I'm very thankful for them. But as a nation, we have forgotten from whom those blessings have come. And we think we've done it all and we've made this and look who we are. We are a superpower. We are no longer a superpower. But we think we're a superpower. We have a great military. We have a great financial system. We have all this and all this and all this. And we did it all. I mentioned, I believe it was Wednesday night or Wednesday night service, back in 2020 during the COVID year, there was a mayor in one of our big cities in America. And once we kind of got kind of a little bit on the other side, he made the statement. He said, we did this. Nobody else did it. And his point was, God didn't do this. We did it. We're filled. And it has caused us to forget God. Nothing wrong with being filled. Nothing wrong with having stuff. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. Does it? No. The Bible doesn't say that money and having things is the root of all evil. But it does say the love of money is the root of all evil. It does tell us that if that's where my heart is, that is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. So nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with God blessing His people. Nothing wrong with God blessing America. And He has, hasn't He? Wow. Most of us are going to sit down Thursday to a feast. Or sometime this week, or maybe you've already done it. By the way, nothing wrong with that. The Bible in the Old Testament over and over and over again talks about feast. The nation of Israel, the Jews, had feast days. But here's the thing. Many will sit down at that feast and never give one thought of who provided all of that for us. We'll sit down in nice, comfortable homes at nice tables, sitting on nice chairs with climate-controlled environment in our homes with electricity and everything wonderful. And again, nothing wrong with that. At least I don't think there is. God is blessed. But not one time giving thought from whom those blessings came. Why? Because we've lost our tremble. We've lost our fear. And our reverence for the one who deserves it all. Then I want to give you number three. Number one, when we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. Number two, when we lose our tremble, our hearts are hardened. If you're here this morning and if you were to be honest, you say, you know, my heart is a little hard. My heart is a little hard. Don't leave here that way. Don't leave here that way. You might be here this morning, you say, you know, my heart is a little cold. I just come to church every week and it's just same old. And, you know, I listen to Pastor P's great messages, good content, great substance. Sing, but, you know, it's just cold. If that's the case, something's wrong. Something is very wrong. Maybe this morning it's because you've lost your tremble. You have forgotten the one who deserves all of our reverence and all of our humility and all of our obedience. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred, our hearts are hardened, and then finally, when we lose our tremble, the consequences are catastrophic. The consequences are catastrophic. In verse number 1, it says, when Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal. By the way, we didn't even mention it, but in verse number 2, when it speaks of kissing the calves, when Jeroboam became king, when the kingdom of Israel split, you had the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, right after the death of King Solomon, Jeroboam was king in the north of the northern kingdom, which we know as Israel, the southern kingdom we know as Judah. But Jeroboam, in his mind, he thought, you know what, if the people go back to Jerusalem to worship, he said, I'll lose my kingdom. They should go back to Jerusalem. That's where they should go back to worship. But if they do, I'm going to lose my kingdom. So the Bible says he had two calves fashioned, created, two idols. And he put them in distinct places in Israel so people could go worship without going back to Jerusalem. And they began to worship these calves, these false idols. And that's a reference to it in verse number 2. And when he says in verse number 1, when he offended in Baal, when they began false worship, Baal worship, what does the Bible say? He died. Notice again verses 7 and 8. He said, therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. Every mama in here this morning, every one of you would probably say it, don't mess with my babies. Right? Don't mess with my babies. That's the idea. He said, look, that's how I'm going to meet Israel. Because of what you've done, because you left me, because you've forgotten me, because you went after other idols that can't do anything for you, and I have done everything for you. He said, I'm going to meet you like a mama bear who is bereaved. She is saddened. She is sorrowing over the loss of her cubs. And will rend the caul, that fat, hardened part of your heart, I'm going to rend it, he said. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. He's speaking of the Assyrian captivity that is coming. Then eventually Judah would be taken into captivity by Babylon, but Israel would go into captivity first at the hands of the Assyrians. When we lose our tremble, the consequences are catastrophic. Hey, Daddy, this morning, if you have babies in your home, you have little ones in your home, or teenagers, or if you still have kids in your home that you have the opportunity to influence, don't lose your tremble. Because if you do, the consequences will be catastrophic. Don't lose your tremble. You say, Pat, what's the big deal? Because here's what you do. You'll start transferring your trust from the Creator to the Creator. You know what you'll do? You'll start missing church for other things. Your trust will be transferred. And you know who always loses out when adults make bad spiritual decisions? The kids. Read Lamentations. Read the book of Lamentations. It will tear your heart out if you've never read it. Mamas and families boiling their children to eat them because they're so starved. Who always suffers when I make bad spiritual decisions, you know who suffers? My three kids and my wife. But I want to know, we just have a minute. Notice verse number 9. This is the relentless love of God that we spoke about at the beginning. This is what Hosea represents in the book of Hosea. It's the relentless love of Almighty God. Gomer represents Israel and her spiritual adultery and her spiritual idolatry. But God's love is relentless. Verse number 9. O Israel,
thou hast destroyed thyself. Now, we're not very merciful, are we? As human beings, are we? But God is. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is what? Thine help. But in me is thine help. Chapter 14, verse number 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I say it again, if you're here this morning, and boy, in your heart, you know, I'm cold, I'm hard. I'm not what I used to be as a Christian. Maybe it's because you've lost your tremble. You don't fear the Lord the way you used to. You don't respect Him and reverence Him the way you used to. The greatest form, we talk about worship a lot in our day. Great word, great truth. Don't we? Don't we talk about worship a lot in our day? You hear the word a lot? The greatest form of worship is obedience. That's the greatest worship that any of us will ever do, is to be obedient to God's word. That's reverence. Reverence and obedience is showing God His rightful place and giving Him His rightful place in my life. Never lose your tremble.